You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and the Chelsea Fancast. It's Stamford Chidge, Jonathan Kidd and Alex Churchill. And we've got a positive result to discuss, I think. That 1-1 draw with Eintracht Frankfurt with the all-important away goal. If Chelsea hadn't got that, would you have been in serious trouble?
Positive? Chelsea? Oh, you don't know us very well yet. Serious trouble, no. Very, very angry, considering Hazard was on the bench for most of it, yes.
I thought that he deliberately dropped Hazard because he didn't think that he could deal with the attack. He wanted a more defensive-minded setup.
Thank you, Neil Barnett.
But also me as well. I agree with him, but thank you. But also thought about it as well. Yeah, thank you. Neil was right.
But that was really odd. I hadn't thought of that at all, actually. I actually kind of... You know, bought into what Sarri was saying, that he was, you know, resting him, and I think that he thinks that the game on Sunday is kind of more important and all of that. And I have to be honest, you know, when Hazard came on, he looked like he was blowing out of his rear end. So maybe there's some truth to it.
But he wasn't very good. But I honestly think that he likes that structure. He thought
they're
going to be
attacking.
Yeah, it was
a really interesting angle, that.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I've been away for a few weeks.
Have you?
And not watched a lot of football. No. And is it me or is Hazard looking a bit up the podgier end of the scale again?
Well, you would be probably best positioned to judge
not
that.
Seen him in a few weeks. And I don't know if it was just maybe it was an extra widescreen TV. But
Does put pounds on your love of an extra widescreen TV. Any close-ups?
Because you get very fat in close-ups.
Yeah, no, but... He looked a bit heavier than when I went away, I thought. Well, but still lovely.
I don't look at him that closely, Alex.
I do.
I know. That's why you're the best person to judge
I
that.
Know.
And Ross didn't play. Ross didn't get on.
Ross doesn't deserve to play whilst Ruben Loftus-Cheek is being so good. Yeah, Biggest game of his life last night. And he was very, very good.
He was really good.
We've been moaning about wanting him to muscle people off the ball and throw that weight around. Not fat weight, but he's a big guy. And we've wanted him to throw that around and hold people off the ball, and that was why
we
scored.
That's what he did.
That was why we scored.
And he got taken off because he had cramp. Apparently, he asked to go off, apparently, with 10 minutes to go, because everybody was very cross, including me. Why are you taking him off?
I think it was also because he was replaced by Kovacic, wasn't it?
Well, no, he was taken off because he had cramp.
I'm saying why you were annoyed also.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, but who else did he have on in the midfield to put on?
But Blue Squirrel as well. Apparently, he's not totally free of that back injury.
No, he's not.
Either,
no, so. We've kind of worked that one out a while ago because he's got sciatica, so you're born with that.
Do you think Sarri trusts Loftus-Cheek? Is the reason why he's been used relatively infrequently because of the back injury?
That's not true. He's been used whenever he's been fit.
You're saying it's injury rather
than
faith.
I think Sarri, you know, to be fair to Sarri, wash my mouth out, but to be fair to him, I think he figured out how good Loftus-Cheek is. But the thing that holds him back is the fact that he's managing a persistent back injury.
And it was a bit of the attitude at the beginning of the season as the season's gone on, I think Sarri completely appreciates
Loftus-Cheek. Yeah.
So but do also, you think he's rewarded him by playing better?
Yeah.
Hasn't he? It's not as if he thought he's gone on.
The fitter he is, the more he uses
him.
Yeah, and the better he gets. Yeah. So I think he's got full trust in him.
So do you think a fully fit Ruben Loftus-Cheek walks into Sarri's strongest 11?
Yeah, totally. Now,
yeah, totally. And also, and justifiably so, actually, given his performances recently.
And he clearly works in the defensive phase as well.
And he can occasionally score a goal, which if you've seen Kovacic try, then it's like watching a little white Mikel. It's not happening.
I feel sorry for Barra now.
I know. Why? They love him.
I know. I watched him the other day. Didn't touch the ball once.
The thing about Kovacic is not just inability to score, but inability to shoot might genuinely come from having your formative footballing years with Cristiano Ronaldo, a man who basically growls whenever anyone else on the pitch has a go.
No, but to do be you fair, think as well, though, that we're not maybe investing as much in Kovacic as we might if he wasn't simply on loan? Because I don't think we've got much confidence that we'll be keeping him.
But the thing you said about him not shooting because of Ronaldo, when he does shoot, it's disastrous.
It's
you know, he has. I think he's got the record this year for higher than what's his face, the little guy who just booted it over the bar all the time, Ian Wright's cousin.
Is it play, Sean a book, or a film?
Book, it's from Wright Phillips. Yeah.
Sean Wright Phillips.
You're being a bit spiky.
No,
tonight,
I thought that was quite funny.
You?
Was that a, yeah, is it a play, a book, or a film?
Yeah, I know you didn't say. You said, "Is it a play, book, or a film?"
Mate, it's because I'm exhausted.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's why he's chugging on 4 liters of coffee.
Exactly. I should have
of an unnamed brand.
Yes, but it cost a lot.
Yes, it was. There was a wonderful Chelsea shot where I keep wanting to call it off the street, where Wright Phillips went towards the goal, had a shot, and it went onto the roof, and Kovacic almost achieved that the other day.
He
hit the corner flag, which he can, and the air shots as well.
I'm sure there must be
a YouTube montage.
My favourite one is Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank against Blackburn in about 2001. Where he actually took a shot. He was about 30 yards out, right in the middle of the goal, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
He took a shot and it missed the corner flag. It was
went
genius.
Out for a throw.
Yeah, it was genius.
Yeah.
Only very few people can do that. But Kovacic is just, I mean, from what I understand, Sarri actually wants him. He's been pretty publicly vocal about saying he wants him. Why, I don't know.
Mm. I mean, to antagonise us.
I mean, to be balanced about it, he's done all right when he's been asked to, you know, fill in for Jorginho because he does keep the ball well and he can pass it sideways 5 yards.
I do like him, but when you sit and you line those three players up, we will always, as fans, prefer Barkley and Loftus-Cheek, and we will always prefer Loftus-Cheek because we made him. And really, in Kovacic is a lone player.
But there's something else about that as well, and I think this is where the huge disparity is between what a lot of the fans, what they want and what Sarri does, is that there are so many supporters who like to see players run with the ball and run at defences because that's what we grew up with. And there are, you know, that's not Sarri's football at all. It's all about passing and patterns and circuits.
Did you read that quote thing on that tweet the other day? They were talking about the Ajax manager, and some Chelsea fans are asking whether he could possibly become Chelsea's next manager.
Why would he want to be manager?
I mean, indeed, but also, but then the quote that he said that he advises all the Ajax players to look at the way that Napoli play because Sarri.
Did
is
you
his
see
hero.
Napoli play last season, Jonathan?
Not last season. No, I saw them play.
That's the great joke, isn't it, on Twitter? Didn't you see Napoli play?
Sorry, that's true. That's true.
No, I didn't. Yeah, I support Chelsea. Why would I watch Napoli? Is my answer.
Yeah, always. Yeah, sorry. We got confused because you shouted a bit. So.
Oh, God, you're really sensitive tonight.
Little.
I am.
Do you want a cuddle at the break? Shall we have a cuddle?
We'll have a cuddle.
He's very tired, and I'm very tired. It's quite.
Your tiredness comes out in aggression. Comes out in sensitivity.
It's kind of like the two puppets in the Muppets. You know, the old blokes.
Yes, absolutely. Well, one man who didn't seem to be too tired last night was Pedro, who was running about very lively. And
Duracell
of course,
Bunny.
Duracell Bunny.
You know, thinking of it, I think Jonathan and I should both be substituted because we need to be rested.
Don't, because he'll just bring Barkley and Kovacic on and it'd be really dull. Badoom tish.
They're on next week.
Yeah.
We'll make a quick change in the break. And coming up, we'll be talking Pedro, a man whose finishing, particularly in the Europa League, is rather sharper than Kovacic's. Don't go anywhere.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and Stamford Chidge, Jonathan Kidd and Alex Churchill of the Chelsea Fancast. And I'm delighted to say we're also joined on the line by Dom Fifield, who is London football correspondent for The Guardian. Good evening, Dom. Thanks ever so much for joining us. A big risk for Sarri last night, leaving Mr. Eden Hazard on the bench. Do you think it paid off?
Yeah, probably ultimately it did. I had my doubts in that first half when things started so poorly. They didn't seem to have an out ball, and you just wondered what Hazard sort of creating space with some by attracting markers towards him might have done for the likes of Loftus-Cheek bursting through the middle. But in actual fact, I thought Eintracht faded badly. We've been told in the build-up that they're a team that are starting to show the signs of a long, hard season. I know Chelsea have had a long, hard season, but Eintracht just simply don't have the squad at all for a European campaign that this prolonged, and you know, the chance of competing in the Champions League next season. So they're full still in the Bundesliga, and they just look worn out second half. And Chelsea really imposed themselves. I thought Loftus-Cheek was superb all night, and Hazard, when he came on, I suppose he made a bit of a difference. I actually wondered whether he slowed the play down slightly somewhat, which is a bit odd and unusual for him. But you know, Chelsea had the measure of them by the end, I thought. And although Abraham missed that late chance for Eintracht, I fully expect Chelsea to go through, in which case Sarri's decision will be vindicated.
I mean, Dom, it's interesting what you say about Hazard slowing the play down. I mean, we were all obviously incredibly annoyed that he'd been rested. I mean, why do you rest your best player in a European semi-final? Would Barcelona rest Messi? No, they wouldn't. But when he came on, I actually thought he did look tired, which kind of made me think that maybe Sarri might have been right.
Yeah, he came out pre-match saying that he'd played the previous 10 games and needed a rest. That's just not true. He had the rest against Slavia Prague over there in Prague. So I don't know. He has, in the build-up to that game in Frankfurt, he made it very clear that he'd almost done a U-turn. He decided that with two games of the Premier League left to go, that the Premier League represented the best opportunity for Chelsea to guarantee their Champions League status for next season. He may have a point, although I do look at the two games that Chelsea have, and I think they're more awkward than some of the games that the others have got, Arsenal and United. But look, if that's the way he's thinking, I do think it's a complete reversal from what he was saying a few weeks back. But I guess you sort of adjust to the situation, and the fact that everybody was dropping points in the last couple of weeks has sort of worked in Chelsea's favour, and they are in prime position. If they win their two games, they're virtually assured of getting in. But I find it very difficult to second guess him, to be honest. This is going to sound bad, but I have to check all the facts that he comes out with, because I do sometimes. I think
sounds like interviewing Trump or something. It's ridiculous.
Well, fake news.
he's not quite that bad, but I do think that he gets a germ of a stat or an idea in his head, and he sort of makes it into a reality when sometimes it's not quite that.
Yeah, interesting stuff. I don't know. I mean, apart from that, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it was quite a frustrating match. I mean, I agree with you. I thought they were tearing us apart early on, but we actually got to grips with them and were much the better side. And I feel quite frustrated that they didn't, as they have so often done this season, not bury them. You know, they should have scored a few more goals, and then we'd all be sitting here absolutely
They were out for the count, weren't they?
They were, weren't they?
We should have scored about another three at least.
That's what I reckon. But it's 1-1 now, and of course 1-1 in a two-legged European tie, you know that the game is very much... If they score first at the Bridge, Dom, it's going to be tough for us, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right. It's not finished. And even the Eintracht Frankfurt head of comms, as he was leaving the press conference last night after the game, he took the microphone and just uttered in English, everything else he said was in German, this tie is not over.
No, I was going to do a very, very bad PC joke then, but I won't go there.
They will have Ante Rebic back.
Yeah.
And he will make a difference. I thought the lad who stood in for him, the Serbian, whose name is unpronounceable, I'm afraid, Mijat as his first name, he was very poor. I thought he looked incredibly lightweight. And so Rebic will make a difference. They haven't completely ruled out Sebastian Haller coming back either.
Really?
And if those three were operating together, and you've got a Chelsea defence which, without Rudiger, I do think can be got at, then it makes the tie interesting. But that said, I actually thought that the Frankfurt players, at the end of the game, they all lined up in front of the virage behind the goal and their ultras, and they did sort of a joint applause of them, and they were serenaded by the fans. And I think that was designed to sort of thank them for their Europa League run, because that was their last home game in the Europa League this season. But it also felt a bit like them sort of collectively acknowledging that they met their match and that Chelsea have got something more than they have. And this is a team that's beaten, you know, Benfica, they've beaten Shakhtar Donetsk, they've beaten Inter Milan, they beat Marseille and Lazio in the group stages. So they're not a bad team, but they just look a side that's just run out of legs at the wrong point of the season.
Dom, talking about that Eintracht attack, it of course had to be Luka Jovic to score the goal. He looks quite some talent, and with Chelsea obviously not perhaps having taken to Gonzalo Higuain in the way that they hoped they might, could he be a player to come in the absence, of course, of a transfer ban and really rejuvenate the front line for Sarri as well?
I think he's the ideal type of player for Chelsea. He's the right age, 21. I suppose Chelsea might look at it and think he scored as many goals this season, I think 26, as he's managed in the last five seasons combined. So Chelsea are a club that like a bit more evidence of pedigree.
For all the good it does.
I was going to say, apart from with Morata, Dom, but you know, other than that, yeah.
but the reality is, he is the right. He's the right type of player for them to go for. All the suggestions are that he'll end up at Real Madrid, or a club of that ilk. I mean, he didn't do that much, I didn't think, last night. He looked as if he was missing his strike partners. Yeah. But my God, that goal was something else.
Fabulous
the finish,
goal, yeah.
The guide of the header, absolutely beautiful. But yeah, I mean, look, he's obviously a player of great quality. But I do wonder whether they might. They might want to see evidence that he can do it two seasons running rather than just in one prolific year.
We prefer strikers that have got all their best days behind them.
So. Very true.
Definitely not for us.
You know, in the presser, I mean, it's interesting you mentioned the defence because, you know, I mean, it's a weird old game in a sense. I mean, I thought Christensen, for example, having got an early yellow, actually did very, very well, because how tough is that to play most of the game knowing you're only a clumsy foul away from getting sent off. But we do have a problem there with Rudiger out, and Luiz is going to have to play a lot of games. And I wonder how that's going to pan out for us, because I wonder if he's capable of playing. You know, I know he's only got a few games left, but he's going to be playing two a week, isn't he? And there's rumours about his contract I was reading today. I mean, does it look like he might get another year?
I think the suggestion is that he probably will get at least another year.
He's asked for two, I think, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, that's that. The interesting thing will be whether, if he stays on, whether Chelsea announce that he signed a one-year contract with an option, which allows them to sort of pursue this policy of not offering more than 12 months to 30-plus year olds, or if he has actually accepted, got a two-year contract out of it, then that's quite significant news, because that means Chelsea have completely changed their policy on that.
Well, I see his point, because they haven't really. I mean, they've gauged around their own policy. They gave Cahill 4 years when he was coming up to his 30th birthday, around their own policy. So if you're Luiz,
not then, beyond 30, that was the thing. That was, when that happened, we all sat there going, really?
Yeah,
really?
But if you're Luiz, you're going to look at that and you're going to be mortally offended if they're sticking to the 1 year thing with you, won't you? I think for someone who's with two spells at the club, I think he's got a right to expect a little special treatment, if I'm honest.
Yeah, and I imagine that 12 months with a 12-month option is realistic. But then, you know, part of me actually thinks, are they going to see David Luiz at his best in the next 2 years? Probably not.
I think he's already... I mean, I love him to pieces, Dom, but I think he's already on the wane. But I just wonder, you know, I think maybe quite a clever game's being played by whoever Luiz's agent is, because I think so much of this... Question answered. But the thing is that surely a lot of this must depend on whether we get the transfer ban or not. Because if we get the transfer ban or not, whether he is on the wane or not becomes irrelevant, because they're going to need him there.
Everything at Chelsea at the moment depends on what happens with the transfer ban. I mean, literally everything.
Yeah.
I mean,
including
they must
Hazard.
No.
See,
you're right.
I think it's done, and we're just going to announce it after the last game of the season. But
after the season ticket renewals,
he's worn the new shirt as well, hasn't he?
5 days before, but everyone's obsessed now with the fact that he's in the photo.
Oh, yeah. That's rubbish.
I know.
Yeah, Dennis Wise was in the photos, and he was away by the summer.
Dom, I'd like to wrap up by asking you a question related to Eintracht Frankfurt's communications officer. Ooh. Is this tie over?
No, it's not over, because we've all experienced awkward nights at the Bridge where the opponents score and they're going to be hollered on by quite a magnificent support, by the way. I mean, I haven't seen anything better than last night in terms of a spectacle put on by supporters. It was absolutely outstanding.
I didn't like the whistling of the Chelsea players, though, all the time. I hated that. I thought that was too much.
I was seeing that, obviously, writing as opposed to doing anything else, but the waving of their flags and the whistling and the general noise and songs was genuinely off-putting. And if you weren't used to it, I was just writing. Even seasoned footballers, I think, would have been... It might partly explain why Chelsea was so quailed in the first 20 minutes. I mean, it was something else. And they obviously won't be able to replicate that exactly at the Bridge. Yeah. But I do worry a bit about the return of Rebic. And it would be brilliant if Hazard's send-off is in Baku and a chance to win a trophy and to lift the trophy. I think that would be a fantastic way for him to bow out. But I do think they've got some work to do next Thursday now. And it is of their own making, because they should have won that tie. They should have won the game in the second half. They had enough chances to win it easily.
Absolutely, Dom. Lovely to speak to you as ever. Cheers, Thanks ever so much for your time. Dom Fifield there, who is the London football correspondent for The Guardian. Interesting, that point he makes about Rebic, because not only...
And Haller.
Yeah, and Haller. But the thing is, where Haller is just a glorious striker... Mm. Rebic is a dangerous attacker, but he has that factor of the Diego Costa, where he is horrible.
If you
remember him against England at the World Cup, he's just nasty. Yeah. He winds people up, and Chelsea again. I have to watch him.
I thought they were very physical last night. They were sticking the foot in at every available
opportunity.
They
balanced it quite well, didn't they?
But I don't have a problem with that. That's how they play, and that's hard to play against. If you're not prepared to go toe-to-toe with these kind of players, they will dominate you and bully you.
One man who's no stranger to being kicked is, of course, Eden Hazard, and he's got to be involved from the start next time out.
This is Love Sport.
It's Johnny Burrow here for your Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport Radio, joined by the inimitable Chelsea fan cast. It's Stamford Chidge, Jonathan Kidd, and Alex Churchill. And it was a perhaps surprising decision from Maurizio Sarri to leave Eden Hazard out of his starting 11 against Frankfurt. First of all, when you initially saw that lineup, were you worried? Were you angry? Or did you think, actually, this is a shrewd tactical decision?
I said if we didn't win, then I was going to... didn't put this tie out of sight to justify him being on the bench, then I was going to surgically implant one of those airline smoke detectors in a sensitive part of Sarri's anatomy so that he never got a moment's peace ever again.
And so if I were to smoke next to him today, would he be beeping?
And buzzing. I was going to put some kind of electrical thing into it as well.
Surely it'd be that if he smoked himself, that would be the problem, wouldn't it?
That would be the cruelest thing of all for Sarri.
There was a theory going around that Hazard had actually stolen his cigarettes, which is why he'd been...
To answer your question, stupid.
You think that's
like
straightforward?
You start him, and if he's looking leggy and tired and he's not giving you anything, you take him off.
But that was my point. Barcelona wouldn't take Messi off, would they, mate?
However, thought that, that'd be interesting.
You know, they wouldn't have rested him.
If No, but I didn't think that. I didn't think about Barcelona. I thought instantly that would be interesting if he brings him on with half an hour to go and they're a bit leggy. Mm. Then it might be a very good move.
But you know, he said, didn't he?
Yeah, but do you know what it was to Frankfurt? It was smug. It was, we don't need Hazard to do this. And if you ask me, that's why they were so fired up in the first half. You look out and you see that these visitors haven't played their best player against you in a European semi-final. You're having your best season for a quarter of a century. You're fighting to get into the Champions League in fourth place, just like we are. Yes, they're kind of like us under the first season with Conte, where they haven't got a lot. All their best players have to play all the time for this to happen. But you look at that and you go, game on.
Well, not only that, I mean, you know, Eintracht Frankfurt were always going to be the hardest side we were going to reach, JK, and it's a European semi-final. You know, surely you play your best team, certainly in the first leg, try and get an advantage.
Well, you wonder what scouting he's done, whether he's seen that they get... I didn't feel they were as good as...
That was what we all thought beforehand.
But no, I still didn't think they were as good.
No, I wondered that, if they were as good as we had thought, and I don't think they
were. No, I don't think they were. I thought it was similar to playing... I don't know who would be a lower team who would be. They don't have the nous actually of the Premier League sides.
But they are missing two of their best players.
No, they are. But
and I do give them credit that they are tired.
They ran out of gas, didn't they?
What they've done with very few players, and it's really starting to show now. If you listen to their pundits as the season closes out, and they've got a huge game at the weekend against Leverkusen away, fighting for the fourth place.
But is it also that we actually might be a lot better than we think we are?
Maybe we are.
Because is it that we actually do pass the ball very well and we exhausted them?
It's funny because we just now assume that we're terrible and awful, and yet the stat last night was, we before that game ended, that we've lost 2 out of our last 16. Is that right?
No, we're better than that. I have the stat here. In fact, they're in your notes if you'd like to refer to them, Alex.
I was using them to doodle. Sorry.
Yeah, we're unbeaten in our last 16.
What did you doodle?
A note to say that Hazard had only played 334 minutes in 17 days, and that's not a lot. And Sarri's full of it.
Yeah, Chelsea are unbeaten in their last 16 Europa League games. That's a record in the competition since it was rebranded in 2009.
Any other season? We all sat there at the beginning of the season on the Fancast. We went, "Oh, we just want to get back in the Champions League. If we have a good season and finish fourth and have a nice run in the Europa League, we'll be happy." And we're on the verge of that, and yet we're all miserable.
Yeah, but it's got no. You see, but this is like, you know, pause, rewind, or rinse. What was it? Wash, rinse, repeat. It's all being blamed on Sarri, but actually, it has a lot more to do with a festering of issues that have been, you know, going on for a while to a head, and Sarri is becoming the scapegoat.
The board,
the lack of investment, the disconnect with supporters, the fact that they don't give a damn about the match going sports, and on and on and on. Modern football, you name it, held in there.
The shirt.
Well,
we'll get to that later. No, but I will give them credit. The points that we raised at the fans forum about the fan engagement and stuff, they have addressed every suggestion that was made in that meeting. They have actually...
About Nike, you mean?
No. I'm talking about bringing back the half-term stuff, bringing back the signings, doing events that are balloted, making it easier for the kids to get close to the players and that, the remembrance stuff, everything that was thrown at them that we were missing or that they'd stopped, they have brought back or actioned.
But you see, what they can never do, and this is half of the problem, Alex, is they can't wind the clock back 30 years and make the 55-year-olds who are grumpy about everything in modern football 35 again.
No, you can't make it the 1980s again, Chidge.
No, they can't. that is the problem. You cannot resolve that.
Your maths was terrible then.
But short of inventing a
very possibly.
we did actually have that discussion with them.
What, my maths is terrible?
No, in said meeting about the fact that we have statistically the oldest block
55.
Season ticket holders in the league.
You're going to let Johnny speak now because he's the presenter.
No.
There have to be solutions, don't there? Short of inventing a time machine, there has to be a way of placating the supporters of the board and the supporters not feeling quite so disjointed from one another.
Well, you can't, mate. But for the reason I said.
But also the other reason is that the owner isn't there. So that there isn't the figurehead. He used to even to attend, doesn't even attend the games.
So what
if he
needs to happen?
Some of
then?
The games. At
Do
least
we need a whole new
feel
era?
There was kind of interest. I don't know.
This is what's unfortunate, that a lot of the fans, their solution is sack him.
And also get a new owner. That's the other new thing,
like,
isn't
him
it?
Particularly, but I don't think that just sacking him, especially if he does what he was tasked with at the beginning
which
of the season,
which is what it looks like it's going to happen.
Yeah, then you can't just sack him.
I have a suspicion that if he had another 2 years with the team, he might actually make them into a team that is as good as Liverpool and who the other team? City.
Who are those other chaps? The ones we do want to win the league.
Yeah, I don't know.
We don't know,
do we? My hunch is that he won't, for the reasons I've stated so many times. But I don't feel as, you know, I'm not as negative about him as many are. I'm just ambivalent these days because they get sacked after 18 months anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
But if the transfer ban is foisted upon him, and he then has a legion of youth who all come in and play their backsides off, then,
I think
you know,
be right for that though.
You don't think?
Yeah, Johnny's put his hand up now. He's resorted to putting his hand up.
I always put my hand up. Very polite.
And my energy was dribbling away. So please.
We'll re-energise with a quick update from the cricket, which is England have won their ODI against
Ireland. They've beaten the mighty Ireland.
The mighty Ireland have been dismissed. Owen Morgan, of course, of brave English stock, playing a serious part, won by 4 wickets, which we love to see.
Weren't they 70-something for 6 originally?
Yeah, it wasn't looking pretty.
But
good to see Jofra Archer involved as well. And talking of wins, Chelsea need to get one on the board next time out against Eintracht. And are they really all that?
This is Love Sport.
It's the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio, talking all things Eintracht Frankfurt, which is not a sentence you always expect to say.
Do you know what
say.
Eintracht means?
Educate me. I should.
Well,
know.
If you Google Translate it, you'll get the wrong version, which is Concorde. So, but it's not a plane. It actually means United.
Lovely.
So they're Frankfurt United.
We're dealing with a Mancunian
side. How about that?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. So we, instead of calling them the Manx, we call them the Franks.
Is there an Eintracht City?
No, because Frankfurt's the city.
Sorry, is there...
Oh,
sorry.
Is there an Eintracht? Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. I don't think so. But it was an amalgamation of two teams whose names I forget.
Oh. Eintracht.
No, that was something else, but I can't remember what they were.
They've been a wonderful success story, of course, coming from relative obscurity to be a very, very successful and formidable side. They were seriously hyped ahead of this time, not least because of that comeback in the second leg against Benfica. But did they impress you? Were you as worried as you were expecting to be?
No, I think I've said this. I thought they were easily outpassed in the second half. I don't think it's completely because they were... tired. I think it's because we played terribly well. And somebody we haven't mentioned is Jorginho, who had an absolute stormer of a second half.
Yeah, because you know why? When he got that bang on the head and he was unconscious.
Changed him into Frank Lampard. But when he woke up,
they said, look, you're Michael Ballack and you're going to have this fantastic game. And he thinks he's Michael Ballack.
God, and they've got to keep that going for the rest of the season.
I can't believe they didn't take the opportunity to strap those ears down.
They left
them poking out.
Yeah, it's true.
But it reminded me of Yuri Zirkov, who was absolutely awful and then got a head wound in a game against, I can't even remember now.
And scored a fabulous
his
goal.
Head and scored a 30-yard absolute worldie. And never did anything else ever again.
No, he did. He provided the pass. No, he scored against Wolves.
Right. Do you know who he scored that worldie against? I can't remember.
No, I can't remember either.
Blackburn seems to wedge in my head for some reason.
Yeah, I think
somebody will
somebody
know.
Like
tell
that.
Us. Phone
yeah.
us up. 0208.
Was there a quiz this week?
Yeah, but Johnny's forgot to tell everybody. So I'm blaming it all on him, obviously.
Okay, let's hear about the quiz.
It must be something to do with the Hornets.
Do the quiz now?
What other teams are named after
like
insects?
Know?
Is that what it is?
It could be. Which teams?
Bedford, the bees.
Which teams have made you buzz?
Have made me buzz. So it is something to do with that.
No,
then.
It's not. Oh. No, because this is serious, because this is a Chelsea Chadder Chidge joint production.
Okay.
In fact, it's Chidge and Chad's Chelsea Challenge.
Oh, clever.
Because I like a bit of alliteration.
That's good. Can we have that every week?
It is. That's what it's become.
Chidge and Chad's Chelsea Challenge.
Chidge and Chad's Chelsea Challenge. Easy for me to say.
And what is
the
challenge?
Yeah, no, the two champions. Sorry.
It is. Chad set this question, and he's brilliant. Follow Chadder on at Chelsea Chadder. And it's which former Chelsea record signing was bought from Watford? Don't answer it, because we'll tell you at the end of the show. So shall I repeat that? Which former Chelsea record signing was bought from Watford?
Is that it?
That's the question.
Well, are there any many questions?
No. Just don't that like one. That. Take it up with Chelsea Chadder.
Well, no, I think there should be more. There should be more Watford referenced.
One. It's changed.
Well, why has it changed? I used to enjoy all the different people.
Because I've handed it over to Chelsea Chadder.
One question.
That had run its course.
No, it didn't.
It
who else played for Watford and Chelsea?
I don't think we actually did Watford.
Exactly, we didn't.
Okay. Would you like to tell us who used to play, who played for
as
both
well
Watford,
as that
yeah,
other one?
As well as that.
Good.
And we will accept your answer.
Thank you very much. Maybe. I like that. That's good. Any other Watford-related questions we can ask?
No.
Has Troy Deeney's face morphed into a doner kebab?
Yeah, that's a goodie.
He eats so many of them.
Really?
I know he's
Does he like
down
a kebab?
This season.
I look at him in a completely favourable light now. Yeah. I never knew that about
him. His face looks like a doner kebab.
You've got to congratulate him. Is that every single time you think he's not going to play anymore, he comes back and scores really rather quite a good goal. Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk about Troy Deeney later, aren't we, Johnny?
We are indeed.
What are we talking about now?
Well, we're talking about Eintracht Frankfurt.
Right.
We've now got two questions for you here on the Chelsea Fan Show, but there is, of course, only one Eintracht, and I've been informed by our glorious producer, Mr. Laurie Callas, that they were, in fact, as you were suggesting, Chidge, combined from the original Frankfurt Kickers and the wonderfully named Frankfurt Victoria.
They must have been in German, though. Kickers and
Kickers
Victoria.
And Victoria.
There is surely a Gottweiss Frankfurt, but the stadium capacity is 5,000.
Right, so you'd struggle to get in.
That's knowledge, Alex. I'm impressed.
It's Wikipedia.
Oh, okay, fair enough. It's probably wrong, then.
It's probably why I
Has nobody phoned in, Johnny? Yeah. Is nobody phoning
in? Someone has
tweeted us a link to the Eintracht Frankfurt Wikipedia page.
That's how you've got
them.
It.
Anyway, brilliant. Would anybody out there would like to give us some more questions before we add to the quiz?
JK really, really wants questions. I've got a question for you, JK.
It's not
a quiz question, but it's a good one, which is, did you think Eintracht dropped off towards the end of the game
We've
in particular?
Talked about this. What are you asking that question for?
Because I want you to talk about Chelsea.
No, okay, all right. Yeah, yes, they did. But part of it, I will say, is because we played so well, and I think that exhausted them. That was part of it.
I think you're right there. But going back to where we were originally with this, I was worried about them because they have proven to be a very good team this season. Yeah. And they, perhaps we didn't think enough about the fact that Rebic and Haller weren't going to play. And, that's taking out two of their best players. And they did for the first 20, 30 minutes. I was really worried. They were tearing us apart, I thought. And we looked like we were going to ship a load of goals.
We were very poor.
But, I think this is really encouraging because we've seen Chelsea absolutely capitulate this season under those circumstances, but not last night. They actually got a grip of the game, got a grip of the midfield and started pushing them back. And I thought we absolutely dominated them until the last 10 minutes when Loftus-Cheek went off.
Loftus-Cheek should have scored that goal, shooting the poor bloke after that great move when he shinned it.
Yeah, I know.
They reminded me of us in the second half.
Did they really?
Yeah. Spiralling downwards, losing all cohesion, looking like they were about to capitulate and do something stupid, but then just about dragging themselves over the line,
which
we seem to do.
But
that
they do look, they do look dangerous.
Well, I hate playing the second leg back at home
because
they get one and it just moves the entire thing.
I mean, the really weird thing is that one all used to be the classic Mourinho first away, away leg first result, 0-0 or 1-1, and it invariably Chelsea would go through, but that was under Mourinho because you just knew he wouldn't let any goals in. But he'd go 0-0 at home.
I don't think anybody has won the second leg when they've drawn the first leg at home, other than Celta Vigo.
In the Europa.
In the Europa.
Really?
Yeah.
Which is, of course, Europe's premier competition. Yeah.
Let's touch on Ante Rebic for a moment. Of course, Chelsea.
I'm not Ante Rebic.
Who's Ante Rebic?
We're Chelsea. We're not anti anything. We love everybody.
We're very
pro.
Positive.
Everything. We love each other.
Talking about Rebic.
We love you.
Whose first name, thank you, will remain unuttered. Chelsea have previous of forwards who like a bit of a
get
scrap.
In their faces.
Who are on the wind-up. Diego Costa, Didier Drogba.
Yeah.
You like that kind of forward. But are you looking forward to the prospect of the other team having one?
I don't think that Didier Drogba can't speak at all.
There was a greyhound called
Diego Drogba.
Diego Drogba.
Drogba was a wind-up merchant.
No, he wasn't in the same way that Costa was.
Not to the same extent.
No, even 50% less, I think.
Well, he did a very good line, Drogba. And don't get me wrong, I love Drogba. But he did a very, very good line in the being a brute when he was on the ball.
He bullied players.
Throwing himself to the ground whenever anyone touched him.
Can I tell you my favourite Drogba moment?
You can.
That Inter Milan game. No, sorry, not Inter Milan. Napoli. 2012, when we were a bit miffed after the first leg and in the second leg, and they had been time wasting and diving all the way through, and there was a moment with about 20 minutes to go where Drogba stood there and you could read his mind because he did his Drogba look and he put his hands on his hips and he looked one way and he looked the other at this guy rolling on the floor, and it was like, you want to play it this way, I can play it this way. Exactly. And for the next 15 minutes, I mean, he was pirouetting, swan diving. He got given everything. And it was just like someone flipped a switch and he went, if this is how this game is going to go, I will win it. And he did.
Yeah.
And
if we're diving, let's dive.
Yeah, yeah. If we're going to go down the diving route, I will destroy you all.
Rebic, of course, is similarly willing to perhaps employ the dark arts of football. Is that something Chelsea have got to watch out for?
Of course they have. I mean, but I think that they should be more worried about the fact that they've got a midfield that's not very good at protecting their defence at all because they let people just run through them. And, you know, we've also got, I mean, we are really missing Rüdiger, I think. Rüdiger brings a bit of presence to Chelsea's defence.
He was playing so
well. Yeah, I know. He's getting better and better and better. And, you know, we've seen, Luiz and Christensen have played together before and they seem to both have an error in them. Although, like I said to Dom earlier on, I actually thought, I mean, I really worried for Christensen when he got that yellow card. Mm. I thought, oh my God, he's going to go off.
Well, and on 40 minutes when it was a foul. It wasn't a yellow. The ref did right there.
No, it was a yellow.
But one more and he was gone.
But he didn't put a foot wrong, really, for the rest of the game. And I thought, actually, you know what, mate, fair play to you. You know, he did all right. Emerson, I thought, was, you know, pretty average again.
He kept leaving his man.
Yeah,
they kept picking the ball up where he should have been on the far post.
He's not a good player.
No, don't think he is.
Is he superior to Marcus Alonso?
At the moment,
well, Alonso
yes.
played really well the other day.
He did against United.
Against United.
Across the season, though, yes, Emerson has been superior to Alonso.
Neither of them, to me,
they're not really
standard required.
No, they're not good enough.
None of them are Ashley Cole.
But it still doesn't take away the point.
You compare Cole as the yardstick.
Yeah, but it still doesn't take away the point that actually, you know, they are not. Our defence is not shielded by the midfield.
Yes, true.
Which is why
if only
so
you had a world class holding midfielder.
If only, if
are we back to Kante being in the wrong position again?
Yep.
Yeah. Yes, because he is in the wrong position.
He was fabulous last night, though.
He was.
And
he made one cock up, I think, but the way he dug himself out of it was quite phenomenal.
Brilliant at doing that.
But I mean, there are people that I think it might be new actually, but I think if one was being hypercritical, it was Jorginho that, you know, let whoever go when they scored the goal.
To be fair, though, if you're the defender, I mean, it was four. We had four and one, but you're not expecting him to get his head on that.
Goal.
It was superb the way he took that. I reckon if you're a defender, you look at that ball coming in and you think, we're covered.
Yeah, good luck to you.
Yeah, because he's not going to get enough
power. If you can hit it from there, mate, good luck. And
but speaking of attackers, can we just say that Giroud resembled the plank that Higuain had been the week before?
Oh, no, I thought he worked very hard for no personal gain.
He wasn't good, though.
Why doesn't he? Do you know, if you're Giroud and you get your start and then you see Hazard on the bench, you're gonna cry like a weepy Frenchman.
Because that they work well. Really well. I tell you what, do you know what I saw that was absolutely astonishing? I think it was on Rick's pre-match briefing on the Chelsea website. But they did a comparison. This was something like OptiStats or somebody. They did a direct comparison of Jovic and Giroud in the Europa League this season. So all the kind of stats you would normally get. And Giroud edges Jovic in the Europa League. And they're the joint, you know, pretty much joint top scorers.
Giroud is
better, apparently.
The only Chelsea player ever to hit double figures in Europe in a season.
Yeah.
With 10.
I know, he's been brilliant. I mean, but it really annoys me. But we'll get into this later, no doubt. I'd rather see him in the Premier League rather than the Europa.
Why it was 82 minutes before he came on in whatever watching. Burnley.
Yeah.
Why, when you've got a load of meatheads in the box.
I know.
And
I know.
Got your own big French
meathead. That was last week's show. Where were you?
Peru.
Oh, that's true.
Yes. Can't argue with that, to be fair. Peru.
Do you know
crossing
what?
The Andes by frog.
No, we climbed 400 metres up a sheer cliff face to stay in these, like, London iPods hanging off the side of a mountain.
Were you visiting Paddington's aunt?
Yeah. But
did you bring back any marmalade?
I think you basically just described Marcelo Bielsa's pre-season training.
Yeah, pretty much. But if I'd have seen the highlights before we climbed up there, I might not have clipped myself on to come back or bothered with the zip lines because it was pretty shocking.
Well, we can only look forward. We can only hope for a second leg against Eintracht. But the question remains, why can't Chelsea finish teams off?
This is Love Sport.
Since I started presenting the show, I've become addicted.
You've aged, mate.
I have aged. That's the first thing. The second thing, and it may be connected, is I've become addicted to perusing Chelsea fancast Jonathan Kidd's Twitter feed.
Ooh, and one stalker.
A stalker indeed. And one thing I noticed while the Chelsea game was going on was a very astute observation from our own Mr. Kidd, which was, Chelsea are in charge here. They've got to get another goal. It's absolutely crucial.
Was that astute? Thank you very much.
It was astute.
Thank you.
Chelsea, of course, didn't, and seems to be making a habit of failing to kill teams off when they really, in terms of the run of play, have an opportunity to do so. Why are they struggling?
I don't think they're good enough. No, what seems to happen is that some of the players who've been very in control of their game, like Pedro, seem to then take extra touches, and it just all gets a bit complicated, and they don't get any shots on goal. I mean, it's just something missing from their makeup, isn't it? And also, Giroud didn't play very well in that particular instance. Wait, is it a striker problem?
No. Yes, and no.
Because there isn't a focal point for them, or they try and use him as the focal point, but he himself hasn't the ability to score screamer. We don't see.
But Giroud. He has.
No, he has. That's true. He does.
I think it's a combination of things. I think, do we have a striker problem? Well, yes, because they're not scoring enough goals. Is it all their fault? Well, no. And I think
we're not setting them up enough.
No, we're not.
The standard of crossing in the game. Both Emerson was out to lunch, and Dave kept hitting the first man.
You've nailed it. I mean, we don't have fullbacks who can cross the ball.
No, still.
We don't have wingers who like to cross the ball because Pedro, Willian, and Hazard all like to cut in.
Yeah,
and we're not quick enough to play through the lines, which is what you would do. Yeah. You know, you would like feed a diagonal ball through for somebody like Giroud to run onto. But because we fanny about for 5 minutes, they have eight people behind the ball.
It's interesting, even if we do get to the byline and cross the ball back, which is a kind of stock classic thing, there's always one of the opponents there because it's taken too long and nobody's then in a position to stretch them to then just to be unmarked and hit the ball in. There's always a blocker.
And I mean, either, you know, it's pretty basic, isn't it? You either counter-attack sides, which gives you the space because you catch them while half of their players are up the other end of the pitch, which gives you the room, or you try and do what Sarri ball does, which is to pull them all out of position, and that provides you with the space because your movement's so good and quick. But we do neither at the moment, and that's why. And the other thing, I think, is that we're not scoring goals from midfield.
I mean, interesting, but once again, I don't think I saw Sarri ball. I didn't see Sarismo again.
We've not seen it really at all, I don't think.
We have earlier on. We have in certain phases, the first half against Wolves.
From the goalkeeper to the defence, I think we see it. We're very good at retaining possession.
But that dreadful moment where, similarly, we put pressure on ourselves by just playing out to the edge of the area, it was the worst thing to do against them, particularly early on, because they were so keen on pressing. In fact,
I thought
their pressing exhausted.
Well, I was going to say, I wondered if that's
the problem.
I mean, I you know, notes to self last night. You know, one of them was, why are they cramping up? Because they were cramping up with half an hour to go, which I've never really seen.
Everybody was saying because, you know, it's been a difficult season and they've all of them been playing. But part of it for me was because they went at
they
it
did,
like,
didn't they? Like a train, mate.
Yeah,
put too much into the first half.
They did. And I remember at the time I was thinking, they're not going to last. I mean, this is just too much.
The interesting thing is in the second leg, you know, I suspect they'll do that again. I would, if I was their manager, I would say, look, it's one all.
You score a couple of goals,
you know,
as
exactly.
Possible.
You get at this lot for half an hour, first half an hour, you get into them.
I'd also add something about us being complete idiots and this being entirely feasible to get a couple of goals at Stamford Bridge.
Well, of course.
Prague did it.
Yeah, of course. But, I mean, if we can ride that out for that half an hour, if we know that wave is going to hit us for half an hour, if we can be tight and keep them
or
out,
or even do the
wait,
same thing,
then they're going to tire out
as we did against
against
Prague.
But that's what you like last season and the season before were doing against the likes of the Scouse and City, wasn't it? Just survive the first 20 minutes, and they will start to run out of steam.
Absolutely.
I have to say another thing about them which really surprised me. I mean, I expected them to be, you know, high energy, very attack-minded and good up front, even without Haller and Rebic. But I thought they were really poor defensively. They kind of reminded me of Chelsea, actually.
They were a bit Chelsea-esque, yeah.
You know, really quite disorganised and not too hot on the old marking.
All of what their fans would have been complaining about is generally what we complain about every week, I think. Why can't we just get it together and put one in? And
were their fullbacks? Who was the fullback? Number three? Was it? What was his name? He wasn't another Traore. What about he just kept attacking non-stop and looked great attacking, but then seemed to be non-existent in defence. It was almost as if it exhausted him.
But like stuck the up possession, there. Just like we do, the possession that they had, they didn't actually make any much that was meaningful out of it.
Do you know what? I've got a stat here that you're going to love. You are going to love
this. I love this stat.
You are going to love
this.
Is
it about the 1960s?
No, it's not about that either. It's not about what I was going to say off air.
Alex,
shush. This is Chelsea's 14th semi-final in all European competitions since 1966. And the ninth since 2003, a tally matched only by Barcelona. Jonathan will remember the first one because he and I have talked about this game, but it was in the Intercities Fairs Cup in 1966 when we lost to Barcelona 2-0 away and beat Barcelona at home 2-0. And then got hammered 5-0 on a playoff. And you were in a... You saw it in a theatre or something?
No, I saw it at the Bridge.
The 5-0.
I saw it at the Bridge.
They had a beanback or something.
They had a beanback on bizarre... screens in the middle of the pitch. Not the middle of the pitch. I was in the shed, and there weren't many people watching it. But it was on. It was a black and white film on these sheets on posts.
Bed sheets.
Yeah, but they looked like bed sheets. But it was rather
no expense spared at Chelsea. That's what I love.
I've still got the programme.
No, I thought you were going to say I still have the bed sheets. Actually,
but anyway. I wonder whether that would be a collector's item, having
it
the
it should be
the away leg.
Should talk to Kerry, my mate Kerry. I'll put you in touch. He'll know.
Yeah.
But isn't that amazing? 14 semi-finals, and nobody can match that. Nobody.
But
I think that's brilliant.
It's the finals.
Not
you
bad
want,
for a club with no history, is it, mate?
No, I've never said that.
Yeah,
I've never said
no,
that.
No, I'm not accusing you of saying
but
clubs a lot of
do.
People do. A lot of people
didn't
do.
Get a chance to ask you before we went on air. Who do you support?
Do you want the honest answer or the I'm live on radio and a lot of Chelsea fans are listening answer?
I'd say
tell him in the break.
I'm going to tell you in the break. But I'm a big fan of Chelsea. I'm pleased that you've been in many semi-finals, but I think you would forgive me for suggesting that it's the finals of these competitions.
I'm not disagreeing with that, but remember we've got to a few of those and won
quite
a lot too.
But certainly
more than your team.
Certainly.
I was going to say, he's definitely not like a fan of someone.
We
like,
can have Wolves. Another quiz.
You've got
part of the
quiz.
Yeah.
Who does Johnny support?
Focus now. 0208 70 20 558.
Bearing in mind, there's a certain amount of smuggery about the lack of conversion of 14 semi-finals into trophies.
Absolutely.
So he can't be
nothing.
Can't be a Spurs fan.
No.
This is Love Sport.
You can already hear one of my co-hosts is, of course, the Chelsea Fancast here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow and David Chidgey, Jonathan Kidd, who's got a lovely singing voice.
Thank you very
and,
much.
Of course, also a new addition as far as I'm concerned, but an old hand at the show, Alex Churchill joins
greetings
us
and salutations.
Also known as the girl who likes balls.
Also known as the girl who likes balls. That's her Twitter handle. My producer just gave me a wide-eyed look as if to say, should I dump that?
As in footballs. What other balls are
you
talking about?
I did that when I thought only my mum and two other people would read my blog, and now it's come back to
that's what her
me
blog's
in the face.
Called, by the way. She blogs for us as well. Brilliant blogs. It's like Hunter S. Thompson on football. You should read them.
Hunter S. Thompson
I'm
on
serious,
football.
Mate.
You can
she's
get the full details of what I think should happen to Sarri because
she's
of the Hazard thing last night.
Okay, I am going to have to go and track this down. You all should too.
Chelsea Fancast website. They're all on there.
And very funny as well.
Yeah, brilliant. Anyway,
talking clever. Very good vocabulary.
Extraordinary stuff.
Some of it's also not swearing.
Some of it's saucy.
Saucy. Now, I'm very glad, listeners, that you can't see the look on Jonathan Kidd's face currently.
Quite saucy,
because it's scurrying. Talking of pursuing things, Chelsea are, of course, in pursuit of a top four place and therein qualification for next season's Champions League. It's in your hands, folks. But are you confident? I should stop asking that question.
Oh, sorry, I got distracted by a horrible tweet. I might read this out in a minute.
I think...
Thank you, Harrison, by the way, but I'll read it out in a minute.
I think if we score first, I'll be much happier, but it's been such a
against
bonkers
whom?
Season. I don't
Watford,
know.
Watford, are we talking now?
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, something out
are we
of Lost the Summer Wine.
To,
who am I?
I
where
we
am
to Eintracht.
I?
Weren't we on to Eintracht again?
No, we've
done
we're
that. Doing top four, Premier League.
No, we've done that in the first part, darling.
No, I know, but Eintracht at home.
Yeah, we'll do a bit of that.
No, I've just wondered if we were. But,
no, we thought we did a bit of that before. We talked
yeah,
about
we did. I know, but I wondered whether he'd ask another question about the same thing.
No, really is.
You and I, both staring at our Twitter, should really listen.
Anyway.
I wasn't even staring at that. I was looking at a couple
He's
of emails.
He's saying, talk to me.
I would like an early goal on Sunday.
Thank you, Alex. What would we do without you?
I know. Cry. I just think if we get an early goal, it rules out the possibility of a 0-0 slugfest that results in them having a counter-attack and scoring
totally
a goal
right.
and then
totally
time-wasting
right.
the living
and who's the ref?
C
I
word
don't know,
out of the... I don't know. Let's have a look. But
well, find out if you can. But Rick's thing wasn't up yet, so I couldn't find any of that stuff out. She's right, though, because if they score first, which has happened far too much this season... They are a really good counter-attacking side, and it would just be a nightmare. And I'm with Alex totally. You know, we need to score first. You know, I've predicted in my super duper race for the Premier League top four places spreadsheet, Johnny.
That's quite a title.
It is. It's wonderful. It's very Arsenal. You should probably
approve
of it.
Spreadsheet. Is there a petition too?
There will be later.
You've given the quiz question away.
No, I haven't. I'm just saying that, you know, he might approve of it.
Okay.
Not that he drinks latte or anything.
No.
Okay. Where am I? Yes, I said we're going to win this. I said we're going to win against Watford at home, and I think we will, because I think that they're going to have their eye on the FA Cup.
Yes.
When is the FA Cup final? 2 weeks after that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a while to go. Yeah, I do appreciate that. But their form since they... you know, reach the semi-final.
That was almost like comedy script acting.
I know, because I couldn't find a blooming page.
Form, I'm opening a script.
Well, I've got
here.
It all down here. I've got it all down here. Look.
Look at the piles of paper I've got here. And
I
all the research.
See what I have
right.
to work with, Johnny.
I'm saying
enough.
Nothing.
And enough, thank you. No, their form, since they beat Wolves in the semi-final, which was unbelievable, they lost at home to Arsenal 1-0. They beat Huddersfield Town 2-1. I recall they were quite lucky. They drew against Southampton at home. And they lost to Wolves at home last week. So they've hardly been on fire, really. And we've got more to play for than they have, because they're now about 10th in the league. So they're not going to be the best of the rest.
Wouldn't it be nice to have a referee who actually knew when somebody was time wasting?
Knew the rules.
And the laws. They
But then
laws.
Friend gave the...
Who's the referee, Alex?
I'm just Googling it. But
because it's important.
Friend gave one after half an hour. And I thought, oh, my God, he's done something sensible for the first time in his adult life. And
as
not,
a referee
yeah,
or generally?
Just ever. Kevin, not my friend. And given this yellow card to Heaton and said, no, I will not stand for this.
I will not stand for this. And then,
and
didn't
then
follow
proceeded
it
to be a fool for the rest of the game.
It was interesting watching the experienced referee in the Liverpool Barcelona game, who the second that Barcelona attempted to time waste yellow card
really?
Straight
I didn't,
out.
I didn't see it. Yeah. Luckily, I heard the last 15 minutes on the wireless. I don't know where I was coming. I was coming back from London.
Did you have a pipe?
No, because I was driving. I went to see my sister. It was her 50th birthday, and I went to have a see her, and then drove back to Hampshire. And I got to listen to the last 15 minutes of the Barcelona-Liverpool game. So basically, it was 1-0 and rather edgy. When I got in the car.
And then battered them.
And I don't think I've ever been so happy driving my car. It was
I'm
just
sure you have. Chelsea winning would have made you happier.
Yeah, that would have, slightly.
Yeah.
But this was brilliant. I mean, you know, the word Schadenfreude comes to mind, especially when I'm talking about Klopp.
Yeah, clever.
But there you go. Anyway, where were we? Don't get me off on that, because we've never shut up about it.
Top four. I mean, one thing that's got said of all of the clubs chasing it, really, particularly Arsenal, particularly as well Manchester United, is that some of them don't really seem to even want top four qualification.
Well, we've all been competing to see how rubbish we can all be, haven't we?
Arsenal's form, woeful. Are you confident as a result of weakness?
I'll tell you what I reckon. I reckon United are going to win both of theirs, because I cannot see how they can lose or draw to Huddersfield or Cardiff. Cardiff will be down by the time they play them. Arsenal have got Brighton and Burnley. I think they're in trouble, Arsenal. I heard something really interesting the other week, that when Emery gets close to the Europa Cup final, which of course he's done and won three times, Sevilla's form in the league went absolutely Pete Tong. So he focused entirely on the Europa League. And what's happened to Arsenal recently? They lost to Palace, they lost to Wolves, they've lost to Leicester. They've lost their last three matches. Brighton will park the bus. I can see that being a draw. And they've got Burnley away, who will beat the hell out of them. So I think Arsenal are going to finish sixth.
Paul Tierney, by the way, is our referee.
His name doesn't spring to my mind, which tells me he can't have done anything awful.
That's good news. Surely a referee
should be anonymous. So he's not Jonathan Moss, Andre Mariner, or
Atkinson.
Atkinson. Mr. Let's not punish anyone for anything, Atkinson. Or Craig Pawson. So he has four things going for him.
Indeed. So there you go. And I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I think we're going to... I think the Leicester match on the 12th will be much harder for us than the Watford one at home.
I read that statistically we can do it this weekend.
Yeah.
How does that work? Well,
it depends how the other results go.
So we win, United lose, Arsenal lose, and Spurs lose, and then we're there.
Well, we're 3 points ahead of United, and we're 2 points ahead of Arsenal. So if both of them don't get a result and we do, then they can't catch us.
So United have to win. Arsenal could mathematically draw and maybe still be in with a chance.
Yeah.
But if they both lose, happy days.
Yeah, exactly. But it's in our hands, as I think Johnny alluded to very earlier on. But in itself, that worries me.
Yeah, because we are incompetent.
Well, I said before, I thought we'd draw all our games.
You did, didn't you?
Yeah, and we'll...
Which wouldn't be enough.
No, but I still think we'll qualify.
Really? Because you think the others are going to do worse than I predicted?
Yeah.
I cannot see United.
And we'll lose to Arsenal in the final. That was my other prophecy.
And Tottenham will win the Champions League, so we won't get into anything.
Exactly.
ages ago.
Ages ago. That was me in a kind of terribly pessimistic, I can't bear it anymore. I want to...
Surely not.
No, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I actually think we are going to finish in the top four. And I wouldn't be surprised if we won the Europa Cup, but I still think, you know, that's a bit of a lucky dip. I mean, 1-1's not... I don't think 1-1's are really, you know, as good as a lot of people were saying last night. I think that's quite a tricky thing to take back. I mean, I know we got an away goal, but I still
think
it's
going to
be tough.
Really, like, the best hope for us is that we muddle through, that Arsenal do what Arsenal usually do away from home, which they are actually the worst club in the country away from home.
I think they're the worst club in the world.
Get beaten 3-0 by Valencia and we play Valencia in the Europa League final. I think that's our best.
I think, do you know what, Alex? I'm with you. I don't want to play Arsenal because Arsenal have had the measure of us for quite a while.
Yeah, but to go all the way to Azerbaijan, where there are some good World War One memorials, like Dunster Force
really?
And stuff. There was this nutter with basically his own private army nobbling around in that region, and their memorial is in Baku. So I would never fly
there
just for
that.
Where
was it then, though, in the First World War? Was it Russia?
Persia.
Yeah.
Wowzers. So it's all oil-related.
Wow.
But, what isn't?
She's a World War One historian in her spare time.
But why would I want to go there to watch Arsenal?
Well, why would you want to go anywhere to watch Arsenal?
Exactly.
It's a very, very good point that I wholly subscribe to.
As an Arsenal fan.
As an impartial observer.
Yeah.
Worth noting on the Arsenal front that whilst the away form was very, very poor against Bartek Borisov, it didn't seem to translate into that Napoli game where Arsenal were actually very impressive in Naples. They did get a 2-0 win. They kept a clean sheet.
So do you think it is? Like, do you think there's a point to that then about Emery putting everything into the Europa League?
I think there's a case for that, and I think more broadly there is that old weird point of league form not necessarily translating into other competitions. I don't think at 3-1 from a first leg, as Chelsea fans, we can assume that Arsenal won't be in that final.
No, I think they're better off than we are right now.
Yeah, definitely than they are.
But they are equally as silly as we are.
And I think, as I said, I think Emery is very serious about winning that tournament.
Well, he loves his record.
They'd only need to win 2-0, though, wouldn't they?
Yes, and that, they would, but they'd also have to keep Arsenal out. Because if Arsenal get an away goal early...
That's what nil means.
Yes. But if the point that I'm making is that if Arsenal were to get an away goal, suddenly then it's all in Arsenal's court.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
but more importantly, why does Emery dye his hair pitch black when it makes him look like a waxwork vampire?
I was about to say, like Count Dracula's rather underwhelming younger brother, but there we go. You can't have it all. Talking of bizarre appearances in football... We've already had some rudeness, really, about a certain Mr. Troy Deeney, who it was suggested his face looks like a kebab.
A
doner kebab. Okay, at least the king of kebabs.
Yeah.
He will be attempting to exact revenge for those comments against Chelsea at the weekend.
Good player.
Very good player.
Yeah.
And coming up, will Watford present a real problem?
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and the Chelsea Fancast. That's Stamford Chidge, Jonathan Kidd, and Alex Churchill. And Chidge, we've had a glorious question into the show on Twitter at Love Sport Radio.
We have indeed, and it's from at Harrison Lego. We know Harrison; he listens to the shows that we do, and has written in before. And very kind of him to put it to Love Sport Radio, so it actually got your attention, because I'm rubbish at this, as we all know. But anyway, Harrison asks, ask the Chelsea chaps, I think he's made, you're an honorary chap there, Alex. Anyway, ask the Chelsea chaps whether they would rather Chelsea win the Europa League, but Spurs win the Champions League, yuck, or Chelsea get just top four, but Spurs win nothing.
Sophie's choice.
I will take just top four and Spurs win nothing, providing it's Frankfurt that put us out of the Europa League and we don't lose to Arsenal in the final.
Okay. Johnny?
I refuse to answer that question.
Why?
It's just not going to happen.
What's not going to happen? You answering the question, yeah.
What,
clearly.
Them winning the Champions League.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see my new motto for them? Because they have that, to dare is to do.
That's right. You think, but I always think it's the wrong way around. It should be to do is to dare, shouldn't it, surely?
To dare is to keep falling flat on their faces. Yeah. Hasn't got quite the same thing.
What
to
I want to know
to dare is,
is
to build, you know, a very good stadium.
Why has nobody, you know, emailed the Advertising Standards Authority to say that they can't use My Eyes Have Seen the Glory, because nobody would have been alive the last time that Spurs had glory.
Yeah, ooh, I know.
Clever. It's not even their song.
There was a debate.
That's a big thing in the stands.
It says in the stands,
My Eyes
Have
Seen the Glory.
That's right.
I have an issue with a club being allowed to contend for the Champions League when they haven't won the league since the early
1960s. Because they finished in the top four, Alex.
I know,
like,
but
we've
it's
done
dumb.
It.
You're not a champion. You haven't been a champion since before my mum was born. So get out of the competition.
That horse has left the stable.
UEFA created that, otherwise everybody was going to break away.
Well, have Everton scored already?
They have.
Yeah, we've got a goal in the Premier League. Everton 1, Burnley 0. It had been coming. It was an absolute barrage from the first minute onwards.
They've improved, haven't they, Everton?
They really have. And the big thing is that they're starting to get a bit of consistency. A nice passing move on the edge of the Burnley box, and an absolute howitzer into the bottom corner.
Like Calvert-Lewin.
Why can't we do that?
I think it's Richarlison.
Is it
Richarlison again? Zouma will be bought by them, I think, rather than make a return to.
He's not good enough for us.
No, he isn't good enough on the ball. So apparently, according to the paper,
own goal, really.
According to the paper, Sarri spent 2 days looking at him and then got rid of him.
It took him that long.
It took him that long. Yeah.
Crikey. More evidence against the accused.
His speed went with that knee
injury.
Okay,
can I answer Harrison's question myself?
Because what is the question?
Well, you asked it and you said you're not going to answer it.
Oh, that same one? That was the question?
Yeah, it's been that long ago.
That wasn't a quiz question.
No, it's not a quiz question.
But I thought you said it was a quiz question.
Does every question have to be a quiz question?
Yes.
For the under fives on the show, yes. Anyway.
Ooh.
Anyway, Harrison, I don't want Spurs to win anything ever, so how can I choose anything else apart from the option that says and Spurs win nothing? It's like a
surely
no-brainer.
You'd rather see Chelsea win.
I've seen Chelsea win plenty of times. Thankfully, I haven't seen Spurs win too many times. I'd like to keep it that way.
But no, why I won't answer the question is that it's
you're being obstreperous.
I'm being ludicrously obstreperous. But also, if Chelsea win the Europa League, why does anybody else have to win? Why do we care about Spurs? I mean, that means that we'd like Spurs to win. But no, obviously, we'd like to win the Europa League and Spurs not to win. I don't want to answer that question.
If Spurs win the Champions League or Liverpool win the title, or they both win it, Champions League, and I'm going to have to emigrate to Iceland.
No one in Kenya gives a damn about either of them.
No, I know they might like either of them in Iceland.
Chelsea, Arsenal, United,
I might have to
and
make
a few
it somewhere
city.
Like a weird Pacific island.
Well, why did you choose
Masai
Iceland?
Mara. Yeah. They've got elephants.
Killing Joke famously in the 80s thought the world was going to end, so they ran away to Iceland.
To Iceland.
Geordie and Jazz.
Why did they think that the world ending would be that Iceland would exist?
Because they've taken too many psychedelic drugs, I think.
Okay, yeah.
In answer to Harrison, I haven't seen Spurs win anything ever, because they haven't since a quarter of a century before.
It's 2008,
I was born.
They won the
League Cup against
that's
us.
Not winning something decent
since
a quarter of a century before I was born. And I don't remember Liverpool ever winning anything either.
Well, look, do you know what? It's so long ago since they won the league that even I wasn't born.
No.
Can I ask a question? If we get to Baku, will you be going?
Yeah.
No, not a chance, mate.
Well,
why not?
too expensive, and I've got better things to do. I've got to go.
And it would
work
take about 4 days
I
out of your
see
life.
The
as well.
I can't take that amount of time off. I've got a very serious job apart from doing this, and I just can't take the time off.
Similarly, I'm under contract to somebody. It'd be tricky for me to
go
away.
Yeah. I'm going to use it as a flagrant excuse to go and see the Dunster Force.
It scored again.
It could be a battering. It's Everton 2, Burnley 0. Seamus Coleman popping up with a goal. The Everton right back there. And it is all Everton. They've been absolutely battering Burnley. A high press on the edge of that Burnley box, meaning as soon as Burnley win it, well, as close as they get to winning it really is seeing the ball ricochet back to a blue shirt.
Offside. One, two, three, four, five.
No, but he's not
interfering with play.
He's not interfering with play. Is Coleman offside? Richarlison certainly is. I think Coleman is onside.
Coleman's onside.
Coleman,
not,
I'm being told, very onside. Richarlison's not interfering.
No, he's not.
No, but the other bloke you scored might have been. He's in the goalkeeper's...
No, he's not. And he was onside anyway.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's okay.
So you know what I said about Arsenal losing to Burnley away? I might have to... Burnley are officially on the beach.
Yeah, you say that.
They're in Southport,
how
mate.
How dumb are we that we couldn't...
beat them.
New Brighton, even.
Well, because of the... It was because of the referee... And because of the idiocy of the second half.
Anyway, I hope we answered Harrison's question there. Thank you for your question,
Harrison.
I thought it was a quiz question. I got confused.
He's upset it's not a quiz question. Go and find some little Chelsea book, you know, Chelsea quiz questions and tweet that one in
for
him.
I'm not that desperate.
We can get a paint by numbers.
We'll get some crayons.
Well, look, actually, as long as it's the Chelsea crest.
Okay, it's a deal.
We'll have another cuddle
that.
In the break.
I'd like
being
one.
Mean
we'll get
a
Chelsea colouring book for you next week, mate.
Thank
don't
you.
Worry.
Is there one?
We can get one for you next week.
Well, I didn't think the Nike shop did that kind of thing.
They should do.
We'll sort it.
Not unless it's charged £60.
Oh, of course.
And it's got their tick all over it.
Yeah. Can I just make a point about those jerseys that came out during the week?
Please do.
With the orange.
Shirts.
Yeah, I'm just saying they were called.
Right.
No, I called them jerseys deliberately because they were called jerseys. That was the point, weren't they?
Poorly.
With that orange bit, and it said that they'd been voted on by some
blind
voted
person.
For by well by some that was the fans wanted these jerseys. They said
this is what happens when fans get to be
the
heard.
The shirt holders.
Shirt holders.
What that? What's that all about? Shirt lifters. Fair enough. Shirt holders.
Dump.
Yeah, quickly. Shirt holders. Fair enough.
Jonathan Kidd has broken poor old David Chidgey, who has his head in his hands and is giggling.
But can I say...
And I'm not the one being dumped for.
Can I say, Chidgey, that they had them, they wore them before the game. And you thought, well, they're only wearing them because they're in the Nike shop. They wore them
awful.
As a training outfit.
We've spent the entire season mugging off Nike and telling them how much we hate them. So they've sat down with like multiple blue pens and gone, and designed that monstrosity manga-style thing.
There was a shop called C&A I used to shop at a lot. And I've got a picture. I've got the picture. One of the shirts had those drawings all over it, exactly like that.
Glover likes it.
That's the inspiration, is it, from a 1973 shirt?
But it's the roof. The pattern is the roof of the East Stand.
I know.
Why?
Why? Yeah.
Why?
It's the oldest stand in the ground. It's horrible.
Why sit in it?
Time for a bright chat.
Why indeed. We've gone from painting by numbers to artwork on shirts. And one thing that isn't a work of art, as we've established, is Troy Deeney's face. But he could still cause Chelsea some problems.
This is Love Sport.
We're so worried about Eintracht Frankfurt that it's easy to forget about Watford. Chidge is shaking his head. I'm not worried at all.
I'm just looking astonished.
Astonished indeed. Watford coming up. They are a tricky side
to
get the better of, but might they have one eye, one and a half eyes, two eyes on that FA Cup final?
Yeah, maybe I'm saying it more in hope than expectation. I think that they're, you know, it's really annoying actually that Troy Deeney's back for them this weekend because he's the kind of guy that will play the same in every game. He won't care that there's a cup final coming up in a couple of weeks.
And he has stopped being a porker of late as well.
I know you don't like him.
He has sorted himself out and he's been playing well this season.
I tell you what, I've got a lot of time and respect. I might not like him, but I've got a lot of time and respect for him. What he's gone through, he is hard as nails.
He's a proper
player, mate.
I mean, looking at him makes me want to gag. I'm sorry, Troy, but
he's a proper player.
I wish we had... more,
yeah, I mean, if we had a player with half of Troy Deeney's commitment, we would not be, you know, flat fanning around like we have been all season.
4-0 away to Bournemouth.
But they will be better with him back, no doubt about that. Mm. And I'll tell you another person that I'm quite worried about, and that's Deulofeu. I think he is a superb player.
How has he ended up there? So he was Barcelona. He went on loan to Everton.
And he went on loan to AC Milan as well.
Yeah, and then ended Barcelona, up at Watford. But I just, all right, maybe
mental
not.
Problems. In other words, his mentality is not right. But I think the thing that's happened now is Grazia's basically got hold of him and said, you can do whatever you want.
So in Barcelona terms, he wouldn't crawl around the pitch after Messi.
Deulofeu as far as I know.
Yeah. Is that the real one?
Yeah. Genuinely.
What accent should be used?
I think an English one.
No,
don't be like those people that just say everything in their native accent, but they insist on going Conte every time they pronounce N'Golo Kanté's name on commentary.
It's not, it's Kanté.
It just does my head in.
No, but it isn't Conte. It's Kanté. It's like 24-hour Dumont as opposed to
Dumont.
Yeah, that's what I call him, but it's all the people here that call him Conte.
No, he's not Conte.
No, he's not. But why do you have to put on a French accent to pronounce that one player's name?
At least it's like Johnny calling him Eden Hazard.
He's Eden Hazard.
No, he's not. He's Eden Hazard.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not like every time.
But no, but even like some effort.
You sound like an idiot if you say that.
That's the problem. I am saying like an idiot.
But Nigel Spackman doesn't suddenly sit there last night and go... It doesn't sit there last night and go, oh, it's Olivier Giroud every time he gets the ball.
We used to do that ironically with Rion Bertrand, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
You get it sometimes with people saying Kieran Trippier. And you think, Trippier?
What?
Really? Yeah. For an Englishman?
Trippier. Yeah, but it's difficult though, isn't it? It's difficult.
It is. They're all tough. The thing to remember with Deulofeu, and as we have established it is Deulofeu, is it's not just that he was at Barcelona. He was, for a while, Barcelona's golden child.
He was
the next number one graduate of La Masia. It went Messi, then Bojan Krcic, and then Deulofeu.
And he did well enough at Everton, I think, to justify, I'm sorry, but playing for higher up the league than Watford as well. But it's just fair play to them for having got hold of him. Maybe he's a basket
Well, but case. you need the right. I mean, but yeah. It's, yeah, but he may be. But he's now finding a manager who can get the best out of him, and that is what good management is all about.
Yeah.
Fair
well,
play to
look
Grazia.
At Moses.
Look at what he did
under Conte in that.
What's he doing?
Conte
in his first
season.
Ferencváros, is he there? No, he's not. Where is
he's
he?
At he's at Fenerbahce.
Fenerbahce. What's he doing there? Is he doing well?
He's playing football and eating kebabs.
Doing okay.
Doner kebabs.
Doner kebabs. Yeah. They look like Troy Deeney.
Do that. Yeah.
As I understand it, not setting the world on fire. I think Chidge's point about Deulofeu is a very good one.
Are you on Wikipedia looking at Victor
Moses? I'm making sure.
He's just found that Chidge's point was really good in Wikipedia. I'm impressed.
No, I'm on.
Just checking that Victor Moses hasn't scored 35 goals in the Turkish league.
He scored 2 in 10, so I am safe. That point about Deulofeu, I think, is spot on.
The point is that if the right player who hasn't been fulfilling his potential clicks with the right manager, you get much more than you expect to out of him, which I think honestly is what happened with quite a few of our players, like Alonso in the first season under Conte before Conte went all like one flew over the cuckoo's nest and split into two personalities.
Yes, exactly. Where she could have became Mr. Sulk. Yeah. Will Watford sing Rocket Man on Sunday? Do you think?
They never do that.
No, but that film's coming out, isn't it?
They did before the FA Cup. Last FA game, they began it with a Elton John song, and various people, not least this station's own Luther Blissett, were very unimpressing.
Really?
Why are they doing that? It's weird. We never do that.
I like
it's
Luther
because
Blissett.
That Bohemian Rhapsody was so incredible that everyone's like, oh, how can I make money? And they've made a Rocket Man film in which some Welsh bloke is pretending to be Elton John
with a
ginger wig on. And so that I assume it's all to do with that. But
I've got a much more serious question to go back to Eintracht Frankfurt for a minute. And I tweeted this out last night and didn't get any sensible answers. But why is it that all European football fans like singing Bananarama songs?
No, it wasn't Bananarama.
It was. Well, it's only if you're old and you remember who Steam were, mate.
Yes,
Steam comes out of me kettle, mate.
No,
like,
it's
you know.
A Steam song.
Oh, is this the...
Steampunk song or what?
No, that's the name of the band.
Well, all right. But okay, Bananarama did a cover of it.
Yes, all right.
And anyway, why do they all sing it? Why? Why do they sing Bananarama songs? What's going on?
I heard they were singing Steam songs.
Oh, right, okay.
I'm with JK.
Okay,
on this
I now know where I stand.
I think I can't remember what song.
How
did
you
decipher
it?
I vaguely remember having a disagreement.
Da da
da da da da da da da. Yeah,
Eintracht.
Yeah, or very German. It was very. They did have German accents when they sang it.
Did they really?
Really?
They would have.
Being German,
they have ways of singing Bananarama songs.
I thought, but you were going. It was kind of Bananarama. I thought it was. You were thinking that at the time.
Sounds like it was the authentic German experience in Frankfurt.
You're not going to be getting any German accent voiceover work anytime soon.
No, I was doing comedy.
Coming up, it's time for the authentic Watford experience with Jacob Culshaw of WD18. Don't go anywhere. This is Love Sport. This is the Chelsea Fan Show, and it's that time of the show when we turn our attention to Chelsea's next opponents. This week, of course, it is Watford, and I'm delighted to say that we're joined on the line by Jacob Culshaw of WD18, a Watford fans YouTube channel. And Jacob, there's been quite a lot of rudeness about Troy Deeney on the show tonight so far.
At the same time, we said he was a good player.
Yeah. Which,
yeah, only
we said,
about his face.
Yeah, we said he was a good player, but also that his face looks like a kebab.
Bab?
I know that all of you Watford fans love him. How would you like to defend Troy?
Well, I don't think I could defend his physical appearance. But, in terms of what he brings to Watford and what he brings on the pitch, I don't think anyone can really deny that. And the impact he makes at Watford has been phenomenal over the last few years anyway, and particularly this season as well. Obviously, he's been out for the last three games through a suspension against Arsenal. But prior to that, as you saw in the FA Cup semi-final, scoring the equalising penalty with the last
it
kick
was
of the game.
Brilliant. I watched the game, actually. I thought it was brilliant.
That
penalty was phenomenal, the pressure he was under. God, bloody hell.
And yeah. Of course, we all want you to win the FA Cup.
Oh, hell yeah.
Of course we do.
I think you've got a good, I think you'll give them a good game in that. I think you've got the game to sort them out. I really do. I think the thing I like about Watford, Jacob, is that you're a horrible side.
Yeah.
You're
you are
horrible.
Pain,
because,
an absolute
pest. Shush! Thank you. That you're horrible because you're physical, you get in people's faces, and yet you've got pace and you're skillful as well. I think you're a real handful, but I think you're going to be on the beach or have an eye on the FA Cup final on Sunday, so we'll be all right. Do you think you're going to be having an eye on that?
Well, I think if we seventh were still up for grabs, I think we wouldn't be on the beach. However, I think, now it's looking increasingly unlikely that we'll get seventh with Wolves playing Fulham tomorrow, and I don't think I can really see them slipping up there.
Well, no, Fulham on a bit of resurgence, you know, now that the pressure's off.
We're 4 points behind Wolves, and even if they did, lose tomorrow to Fulham, they've still got that game away at Liverpool. And I'll be honest with you, I think they could get something away at Liverpool. So I think it's out of our hands. It's unlikely that we're going to get seventh. So now all eyes are turning to the FA Cup final.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
And I think, particularly coming up to the game on Sunday, I think probably the aim for Watford fans and Watford is just to spoil Chelsea's Champions League hunt. Because it looks like Chelsea, Arsenal, Manchester United, none of you want to take that fourth spot. So if we can make it a little bit more interesting, that'd be brilliant.
We've been drawing recently. They haven't. No, you know, we've been making slightly more of an effort, you know.
only slightly, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I get the impression that, it's one of the worst top four, hunts in a long, long time, from what I've seen anyway.
But the hilarity is, where all the other stuff is, pretty much done, you've got a title running between two teams, relegation's kind of sorted, that they've got to pretend to be really interested in all this awful football going on.
Manchester United have bottled it completely. I think they're out of it. And Arsenal, really, they've probably got their eyes in the Europa League, and you guys have as well. I can't really see Chelsea losing it from here, but hopefully we can make it difficult on Sunday.
No, please no.
Please don't.
I've got to be honest, Jacob. I mean, you know, I know I was kind of saying more in hope than expectation, but your form recently since the FA Cup semi-final has been a bit up and down. I mean, losing to Arsenal at home, who were the worst away from home ever in the world, and you beat Huddersfield, who are down, drew with Southampton at home, and you lost to Wolves at home last weekend. So, I mean, how do you feel about that? Because, I mean, you know, I accept and take that, the FA Cup is now the priority, but, you know, you still need to keep some form going. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm a little bit disappointed with our recent form. I think particularly our home form, that's been really good over the course of the season. And in the last three games, we've only picked up 1 point out of 9. And that's really been and cost us really, because seventh was in our hands, and then losing to Wolves is a real sucker punch actually. To get it back to 1-1 and then for Wolves to go up the other end and score, and it was a tough one to take. And we were going into the game thinking, you know what, if we can just basically not lose this game, then we've got a fantastic chance of seventh. And to get European football for a club like Watford would be an unbelievable achievement. So, I think the recent home form has been a real downer, actually, for a lot of Watford fans. And a lot of Watford fans were a little bit depressed coming out of that Wolves game, because we had a fantastic opportunity to get seventh. But having said that, we can't get greedy. The season we've had, to be sitting 10th in the league, 50 points, secured safety pretty early, and to reach an FA Cup final. If you had said that before the start of the season, I would have bit your hand off. So, yeah, it's been a fantastic season.
Are you not guaranteed European football because City won't... Do you get a Europa League spot from the FA Cup final?
I think you do, because
City won't want it or don't take it.
Does it not go to the next league position?
I'm not
I
sure.
Don't Stewart's go inquiry, to Johnny? Eighth anymore. I don't think it goes to eighth anymore. Which is a bit of a shame.
I thought if you made a cup final, you got it.
Used to be, didn't it?
Or if you won a cup, yeah. Obviously, yeah. Even if City beat you.
How else did Millwall get into Europe? Apart from on a ferry.
I'm going to Google it right now.
Yeah, yeah, I was thinking that. I thought that whoever got to the cup final or the runners-up anyway, we'd get European football, but that doesn't seem to be the case anymore. Mm. I think the last time it went to eighth spot was Fulham, I think.
It does the European football. The FA Cup winners qualify for the following season's Europa League, and obviously City will be in the Champions League.
As I understand it, it's now the case, I'm being informed, that seventh place would trump beaten finalists of the FA Cup in terms of European qualification.
Oh, fair.
Darn it.
Yeah. There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
That's you should get something for...
Jacob, I can't even believe I'm saying this, but I'm going to. What worries you about Chelsea on Sunday?
The quality of the beer.
Shirts. Yeah, the awful pies in the bar. Yeah,
beer is horrible.
I'd be more worried about that than anything. No, in all seriousness, mate, because I mean, you know, we're in the middle of a two-legged match against Eintracht Frankfurt, and that's still in the balance. But there's a suspicion that we have that actually Sarri's more focused on trying to get into the top four. So one presumes they'll be well up for it. Of course, the thing that will play into your hands is that we'll have Higuain up front, who is somebody I wouldn't be worried about at all. I'd be worried about being bumped into by him or sat on by him, but not anything else.
How many times was he offside that last game?
So what worries you, Jacob, if anything?
Well, I think one man, and that's Eden Hazard, if he plays on Sunday. I mean, I'd say the best player in the league on his day. And coming up against our back line, I think it's probably going to be either Kike Femenia or Darian Mat, both who will struggle to contain him if he turns up. I don't know whether Sarri rest him ahead of the second leg of the Europa League. I'm not too sure about that.
No, but, I don't think so. He only played him for about half an hour last night.
It was a little bit of a hopeful shout there.
Probably play him for the first half and take him off.
When we're about 4-0 up.
Yeah. Who's your number seven now? At Watford.
Sorry, I didn't catch that.
Your number seven at Watford?
Delafeu.
Oh, okay, so it's not the same swine as last season then. That's good. The one that spent it all rolling around on the floor but then kicked everyone else to pieces.
I remember that.
I didn't like him.
Yeah, I remember that. It's not Perea or something.
It began with an A.
No, can't think of
it. When you said that other name, I thought it might be him, but it's not.
I know you mean.
Yeah.
Anyway, we digress.
Anyway.
Well, I think, the one player obviously is Eden Hazard. I mean, you can't really contain him, really. What I don't worry about is Chelsea's backline. I think if we can get at Chelsea's defence, then I think we've got a good chance with Troy Deeney obviously coming back in. Yeah. Delafeu is obviously a menace up front as well recently anyway, and his away form has been fantastic.
Well, what I would say, Jacob, just going back to Troy Deeney, you know, it's very likely, well, we don't have any other choice but to play Christensen and Luiz, and Troy Deeney can bully both of them at the same time.
Please don't break either of them. Before the Europa League either, because otherwise I think Dave has to go in at centre-back, doesn't he?
That'll be it.
He'd probably be better there.
Mm. Yeah, Troy will be fired up for it because he's come back from his 3-game suspension with 2 games to go before the FA Cup final. It's a chance for him to again cement his place and get him back to full fitness as well. But yeah, if he can get at the Chelsea back line, and I think we'll play direct, we normally do. Sometimes it's not as pretty on the eye, but it's effective. Mm. And as you said, if we can get out the two Chelsea centre backs, then I'm sure we'll have a chance. Mm.
He's probably going to find out on Twitter in about 2 minutes that he's been called a doner kebab as well, and be even more fun.
Yeah, make sure you tell him. Yeah. It was Alex Churchill, A L E X.
It was a very
Cahill's
edible.
Achilles, though.
Oh wait, no, he's got a bad Achilles, hasn't he?
I didn't read how long he's expected to be out.
I think he said 5 days.
Okay, so not shocking.
I'm being reminded by our glorious producer that winger who you've deemed a swine was a certain Mr. Nordin Amrabat.
Oh, that was him. I shook my fist at him.
You did, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. He was vile in the away game last season. Absolutely vile.
Jacob, don't listen to
him. He was like stamping on people, and then someone touched his elbow and he threw himself on the floor.
Sounds like
Didier
Drogba to me, Jacob.
I'll tell you what.
Drogba did it with charm.
I remember that game at Stamford Bridge. I think it finished 4-3 was it the final game of the season?
Yeah,
it was Chalabre mad. I remember
was
that.
Playing Chelsea.
Yeah, yeah.
So I remember that was a really good game. It's Darry Amat's got a fantastic goal. And then the season after, we won 4-1 at Vicarage Road, which is always I'm always going to remember.
Yeah, that was one of many games in which we were ripping off.
Yeah, but you say that, Jacob, but Chelsea have scored 4 goals in 3 of the last 4 games against Watford.
Yeah.
How many times have they scored 5, though?
None.
Jacob, the biggest question of all is, how do you see the game going? I'm going to have to press you for a score prediction.
Okay, I think Chelsea will edge it 2-1.
Wow.
I didn't get a chance to mention it, but Etienne Capoue's out on Sunday, which is a huge blow for us. He's been our player of the season.
What's he got? What's happened to him?
Etienne Capoue, he's done his groin. I don't think Javi wants to risk him, obviously, with the FA Cup final coming up.
No, absolutely.
I fancy Chelsea, in all honesty. We haven't been on a great bit of form. But I expect Watford to give you a good go, but yeah, I think Chelsea will just come out on top.
I think you may score first and we all might cry and scream.
I called Delia Kebab.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that is the one certainty of the game, Jacob. Thanks ever so much for your time. Thanks. Lovely to speak
well
to
done.
You.
Jacob
Coleshaw there of WD18, which is a Watford fans YouTube channel that you can catch on that website. Coming up, we've heard the Watford view, but how should Chelsea approach the game?
This is Love Sport. Love Sport.
You're listening to the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. It's me, Johnny Burrow, with Stamford Chidge, Jonathan Kidd, and Alex Churchill of the Chelsea Fancast. And I'm delighted to say we got a caller into the show. Kieran is getting in touch from Los Angeles. Wants to have a chat about Hazard, Kieran.
How are you doing, guys?
All right, mate.
Great to have you on the show, Kieran. Fantastic.
Yeah, I listen to the Chelsea Fancast every single episode. I'm based in Los Angeles, and truly, guys, you guys keep me connected to the club. So,
brilliant.
Thank you very much for that.
Oh, thank you for listening, mate. And I can't believe I didn't go and have a beer with you when I was last in LA. That's terrible.
Terrible. And do you know what? I was actually looking for you, Chick, because I was usually here. I was at the game. The quarterfinal at the Bridge. I was there.
All right.
I just literally came back from London, and I was looking to see if I could find you, but unfortunately, I couldn't. But
next time,
anyway,
mate.
I digress. Next time. But I wanted to talk to you about number one, Sarri, and if we do finish in the top four and we do win the Europa League, and I know there's a lot of ifs and buts attached to that, the vitriol and the type of hate that he's received from the Chelsea fan base, I think he would actually have a very good season considering the circumstances. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that. And also, if Hazard does go and we don't get the transfer, I don't think we will get the transfer ban personally, but if we don't, who do you want to see replace Hazard?
Good question. I think there are two ways of looking at this. I mean, I suspect, we don't know because none of us are on the board, sadly, but my suspicions are that the objective for Sarri would have been top four and, if possible, a trophy. So if he wins the Europa League Cup and he gets in the top four, then he's done what he was asked to do. So it would be somewhat...
And we lost the Carabao Cup on penalty.
Yeah, exactly. So we got to another final. So, you know, in a sense, he's kind of done what he was supposed to do. It would be slightly disingenuous to kind of get rid of him. I think on a more objective viewpoint, and I did this on one of the shows a week or so ago, ostensibly, if we do finish in the top four or, you know, fourth, fifth and win the Europa Cup, we've pretty much done marginally better than we did last season. Because, of course, we came fifth last season under Conte, which is why we're in the Europa Cup. But we will have pretty much won the same number of games, lost the same number of games, drawn the same number of games, got pretty much the same number of points. And, of course, last season we won the FA Cup. So, you know, I would say we have done marginally better. But I think given where we are as a club at the moment, given who we've got player-wise, I don't think that that's too bad, I'll be honest with you.
But it's most of the fan base hate him, though, because they hate the football. They hate what is being delivered.
And
so,
for a lot of other reasons,
But Jonathan, I think I also feel that a lot of that hatred is also mixed up with where we are as a club.
Totally. I absolutely agree. No, I agree with you. I agree completely.
At the top and... Yeah. You know, there's envy, isn't there, the fact that
we've been overtaken by City and Liverpool to such an extent.
Spurs doing well doesn't help at all, actually.
Yeah, I agree completely. Yeah.
No, I think it's more Tottenham than Spurs than City Liverpool. Yeah, to be honest, well, for me it is anyway.
No, it's interesting you say that, particularly since Spurs image of the with all the chants being mostly Spurs. I think the hatred of Spurs has really overtaken a lot of normal viewing of how you view opposition football sides.
Go on, Kieran. I do agree
with that. I'm just interested because, you know, I think you know I've heard you guys speak on the fancast a lot about this being a pivotal summer for Chelsea future. Yeah. However it turns out, and obviously there's things that are out of our control that will dictate our trajectory across the next 12 to 18 months. But I still honestly do believe that even with Sarri and in the current squad, stick a Diego Costa in there. Yeah. And by the way, what we would give for Gary Cahill's leadership at the back right now, considering how much hate he got from the Chelsea Chelsea fan base. If we had a fit Gary Cahill and a Diego Costa, I think we would have been well up there. We would definitely be above Spurs anyway. Yeah. So I don't think there's that much wrong. It depends on how you look at it.
Well, it does. I think the striker thing is interesting because, you know, I do wonder whether you're playing, you know, what Sarri wants us to play or whether it, you know, the kind of players that we've got delivering the balls that are necessary for a striker. We were talking about it earlier on. I think if you're a striker, it's a very difficult job at Chelsea. I don't think Higuain is any use at all. I mean, for me, that's absolutely past his sell-by date. But I think Giroud's okay, you know, and I think Giroud can play with Hazard. But, you know, Diego Costa, I don't think, is the kind of striker that Sarri really warms to. I think Sarri's the kind of manager that likes... You know, he would prefer what Liverpool have got in the form of Firmino, Salah and Mane, who are little kind of very small, quick players. None of those as a striker.
Or even Ajax, because the Ajax team, at the moment, they haven't got a centre-forward at all.
I do think the way modern football's going is that, you know, the traditional strikers like what me and Jonathan grew up with are becoming something of a, you know, an anachronism.
Do you know what as well? Don't forget that a few weeks ago, Sarri was still saying that he hasn't started, hasn't started working on the attacking yet. That he's been working on the defence, God help us.
He hasn't got that right.
And the midfield, God help us. And that he hasn't actually started imparting the Sarri view of football on...
On
his team yet. So... what does that even mean? Yeah. But yeah, it's...
concerning stuff. Go on, Kieran.
I don't know where that leads. I agree with you there. And just my final point. I think we can all agree that Hazard's going, which is one of my reasons why I was very peeved at the fact that he's not starting every single game because we've only got three games left of his genius in a Chelsea shirt. Let's be honest about it here. So let's hypothesise and say we will get away with delaying the transfer ban. Who do we want to see come in, or what would you see?
Well, I can answer that very quickly, mate. For me, it has to be the best striker that money can buy because we need, apart from anything else about Hazard, we need to replace his goals because he's responsible for half of them this season. So that's what we need to replace most.
Yeah. I think that's a very good point, Kieran. Thanks ever so much for your call, Kieran. They're getting in touch all the way from Los Angeles.
Cheers, Kieran.
Chelsea, of course, will be coming up against traditional centre-forwards, possibly two of them even at the weekend, in the form of Troy Deeney and Andre Gray. Are you confident against Watford. I keep getting chuckles when I ask if you're confident.
I'm not confident against anybody.
No.
But I do think we're going to win. I really do.
So
I,
you are confident?
I can say we're going to win without being 100% confident.
No.
But I do think we're going to win.
It's just words.
I do think we're going to finish in the top four.
I've been saying it for weeks. Be carnage.
Why would I have spent all that time doing this weird spreadsheet if I didn't believe?
To be consistent with the way that I've been arguing, they'll draw.
Because you said they'd draw all of the games,
yeah,
Jonathan.
I did.
I see.
I did ages ago.
Ages ago. So yeah. We're just sticking with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got every result right last week, by the way, in my prediction, apart from Spurs.
That's not every then.
Well, apart from Spurs. Well, no, but it was better. It was better because Spurs lost and I predicted that they would draw
good.
Against
That's
West
good.
Ham.
That's good. That's good.
It's black and
yeah,
white.
I know. Hang on. We've got to
Hang on. It's all there, mate. It's all there. Read it and weep.
Read it and weep indeed. We're going to see Hazard from the start, I assume. Are you expecting him to excel?
I don't know. I'm worried about how tired he is.
Yeah,
actually.
I'm worried about
seriously.
What an enormous bottom he's got. I'm a bit worried about that at the moment.
Did you see that article about him?
It doesn't worry me.
But this is the secret to his success, his low centre of gravity and the fact that he's got a very long body and short legs.
Is that exactly like...
And a big arse.
Like traditional fast bowlers have
No,
they have long arms.
They have long arms.
I thought they had,
and they all came up from the coal mines.
I thought
mines,
they had big glutes.
Like orcs.
And I thought you shouted at the coal mine. Any fast bowlers down there, lad? And
you go, anybody want a cup of tea?
Anybody come and open the bowling for Yorkshire?
And a bank of Tetleys.
I should nominally be quite a good fast bowler, but really? I'm hopeless.
You've
if
been,
you look
you've
at my
been
belt,
down a coal mine.
I've got
leaves. You don't look like it, mate.
I actually live in a coal mine. So there we go.
You got a
Can I say
with
there's
that?
A song with that? Living in a coal mine, going down. No, it's actually, that's working in a coal mine. Yeah. Sorry.
Do you want the quiz answer?
I'd love the quiz
right.
answer.
The quiz question was, which former Chelsea record signing was bought from Watford? Devised by the legend that is at Chelsea Chadder.
Who can I answer
a
it?
A Chidge and Chad Chelsea challenge. Go on, Jonathan.
Paul Furlong.
It was Paul Furlong.
Yes!
You were not the only one who knew that. Eddie McCready, or also known as Mark, got it right.
Now, what famous goal did he score, Paul Furlong, for Chelsea?
Oh, that's a good one. Was it?
How did he score it? How famously was
go
it?
Go on, no, go on.
It was European Cup Winners' Cup semi-final, yeah. And he was walking away from the goalkeeper,
that's
and
right.
the goalkeeper kicked it, hit him on the back of
that's
the
right.
on the back, and went into the goal.
They all count. Yeah. Right, Fanto Mantle, a man I know well, he also got Paul Furlong right. And Colin Cheam, or Cole, on Twitter, he said, blimey, Paul Furlong. He was right. So there you go. So there's a few got it right. Well done, you lot.
Wonderful stuff. Good work. And it is that time of the show where I need to press you guys for your predictions. We'll start with Watford. Alex, what do you reckon?
Pain.
But in terms of the scoreline?
This season, I can't even tell you. We will win 2-1. I'm going to agree with the little Watford chappy.
Okay, and JK?
And we're going to win 2-0. No, we're not. We're going to draw 2-2 because I've been consistent.
We're going to draw 2-0.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Alex and Jacob. I'm going to go 2-1 to the mighty Chelsea.
2-1 to the mighty Chelsea.
But I'm not ruling out that they'll score first, then we'll equalise, and then it will be agony.
Yeah, agony.
And it'll go in Definitely. Off someone's behind yep. in the last minute. That is entirely plausible.
On this show,
no, it's because you put Hazard in my head.
I know.
That's
and
why.
And Ross Barkley.
I know.
We took some pictures of him.
More
from
flustered.
Well, it's time for us to get to the bottom of it in the Europa League.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Fundamentally, that was very clever.
Thank you. Because Eintracht Frankfurt, what are we saying there?
Yeah, we'll do it.
Yes.
We'll do it.
Yes. I think
3-0.
No draws.
I think again...
No, excuse me. No,
was that just in the Premier League?
I said we'd win. I said we'd get to the final.
Okay. Good.
Of all the way through.
You could draw nil all and get there.
Yeah, I know we could, but we won't need to because we win 3-0.
I mean, not capable of drawing 0-0.
No.
I think it'll be 2-1 to Chelsea. It'll be late, and I think Hazard will score the winner.
Wonderful stuff. Well, we're predicting 2 wins. We're predicting a good week for Chelsea. It's a good week on the Chelsea Fancast, Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport. You'll have to join us next week.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.